Hi, it's Zoe Routh, and today we're talking about mojo, as in how to boost yours, because all of us could do with some more mojo, baby.
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
So we're talking mojo, and if you're wondering what the heck I mean by mojo, it means the way that you feel and funk out on a daily basis. And I've spent a lot of time with leaders lately, and mojo seems to be the last thing on their mind, and probably the first thing that they need to address in order to be able to have the energy to deal with the stuff that they're dealing with. Let's face it, everyone has a lot on their plate, they're super duper busy, and looking after ourselves kind of feels like an afterthought. I've been banging on about this for 20 years, I think it feels like. Actually, that's not true. 15 years since I started professionally working in my own practice. And the self-first principle has always been the thing that I've touted. And I've had to learn for myself again and again and again because I totally empathize with my clients. I get it, how life and work becomes an obsession and looking after self falls by the wayside. However, I have gotten a ton better at this. So today I'm going to share some of my key strategies, some you probably maybe have not heard of before, to get your mojo rocking in the big world in the big way. So it all centers around what you be, think, or do. Those are the sort of the critical aspects of getting your mojo happening. And I'm going to start with think. Because what you think has a radical effect on, therefore, what you do, and therefore how you be, how you feel. And there's three things to look at when you think about mojo and what you're thinking. And the first one is beliefs. And I love this little prompt from Tim Ferriss's new book, The Tools of Titans, where he has one of the questions he journals about is, what are some outrageous beliefs I can live my life by? And I think this is really great because we make up stuff all the time about the way that life is supposed to be and then live according to it. And a lot of this is subconscious. What if we deliberately pick some awesome beliefs that would cause us to take radical, huge action and bring us amazing results? I like that premise, so I'm going with it. So some of the ones I came up with for myself are, the universe is conspiring for my success. That's good because I don't want to micromanage all elements of my success. That's just way too hard. This is a really good one. Everything is happening for my own best interest. And what this means is if something shitty happens, you can then say, that was in my own best interest. Don't know how, don't know where. I'm just going to choose to believe that it's in my own best interest. And this has helped me a lot. So if I have a client cancel or a program not get off the ground, I just embrace it, go, well, obviously it's for my better good. It doesn't feel like it right now. I'm just going to trust that it's all happening for my own best interest. And the third one I've been playing with is, and a client came up with this actually, and I love it, and I think it works really well. Everything turns out better than I expected. Isn't that awesome? And if you have this sort of expectation that everything turns out better than I expected, you're always delighted because you can set low expectations and they'll get superseded. But it's good when you look for evidence of that and you see it unfolding like, unlike you expected, but better than you expected. I like that one. It's good. So beliefs are the first one. The second aspect of thinking that you can shift is around perspective. And I've talked about this before and I've written about it a lot. And when you try and look at your life and yourself from multiple different angles, you get new insights and you can broaden how you approach things. Here's a couple. How would a billionaire approach this? Or how would the Dalai Lama approach this? Or how would a pioneer approach this? Or how would fill in your blank mentor approach this? And the one that I like to play with the most is, what would my 80-year-old self say about this? In fact, this, as I've been playing with this, it's becoming more and more central to governing all of my choices. My 80-year-old wise self, what does she look like? Well, a bit wrinkly. And there's actually an app you can get on your phone or your iPad that takes a picture of you and ages you. And I got this from David Ray, who posted it initially, and it's Well, I have to say, I wasn't as attractive as I thought I might be at 18. Compared to Dave's accelerated look, he looked like a dignified old man. I just looked like a scary old hag. In any case, I might take a different picture and smile a bit more, and hopefully I'll look less scary. So apart from worrying about looking wrinkly and scary, my 80-year-old self, and I think this is a great premise for all of us to consider, is 80-year-old self, how do you want to show up at that stage of your life? Do you want to be worn out, dragged through the mud, wrinkled in your brain perhaps, miserable? No, we don't want any of that. So I've been thinking about my 80-year-old self, and I want her to be fit and lively and laughing and a twinkle in her eye, full of wisdom and not taking anything too seriously, and in love with every day. And as I write this picture of how I want to turn out at the age of 80, it occurs to me that I ought to be that person now, because it's not going to magically happen after another 40-odd years or 30-odd years of operating like a madwoman on steroids, furiously trying to do this, that, and the everything. I have to actually become this now. If I don't have the extra 30, 40 years of wisdom yet, to know that I have 40-something, I'm not confessing my age on my podcast, I have 40-something odd years worth of wisdom already behind me, and I can experience that and embody that into my 80-year-old self. So I think this is a really useful way to think about mojo. It's like, how do you want your ultimate 80-year-old mojo person to rocket? And then do that now. The third thing for beliefs, if you're going to boost up your mojo, is thinking about the import of what's going on, the weight of it. And the way that I do that is I ask the question, does this matter? Does this particular issue matter now, a month from now, a year from now, 10 years from now, lifetimes from now? And usually the answer is no. And yet we get so caught up in the pettiness of what feels like such a big deal in the moment. So it helps me go, that kind of sucks right now, and I can let it all go. So I think that's an important one. Like, for example, I sent somebody a message on LinkedIn, and I copied and pasted from another message to make life easier for myself with the same intention of wanting to meet them. And yep, I copied the other person's name into the email. So instead of, hi, Jonathan, it had the double up of, hi, Jonathan, hi, Andrew. So I just look like a douche, really. So I had to ask my question because I felt so mortified, because it's a glaring thing of, I mean, receiving that, you just feel so like somebody didn't pay much attention. So I didn't want to give that message to anybody. So rather than beat myself up for more than 3 minutes on it, I asked myself, does this matter? It does a little bit right now. In a month? No. In a year? No. So I've given myself a week of breathing space before I call them and deal with it. Even that's kind of wimpy, really. I should have just picked up the phone, but anyway. I'm getting there. I'm not perfect. So those are my thinking strategies to boost up mojo. So let's talk about the doing strategies. And some of them, look, let's be honest, you know a lot of these already. However, it's worth stating again. There's two major ones, I think, that are worth stating that have been getting more and more attention lately. One is sleep. Oh my word, I don't know if it's just getting older, or whether this is, I've just been noticing the profound effect that sleep has on performance. I've been religious for the last 12 months about getting to bed roughly the same time every night and doing a decompression exercise, which is for me a mantra that's part of my meditation routine, so that I can sleep through the night. And because my brain is a hyperactive beast, it follows the latest shiny object, has difficulty focusing. And so for me to just to chill that crap out takes a lot of effort. And so sleep routine is really, really important. And for me, getting enough sleep makes all the difference to recovering from all the activity I'm doing in terms of speaking, giving presentations and running workshops and coaching and promotions, all that activity stuff. Sleep is the thing, man. So get your sleep stuff sorted. Get enough sleep, get a sleep routine so that you can just concentrate on getting some restful stuff. All right, so work on your sleep hygiene. The other one, which you may or may not be aware of, is sort your gut out. Over the last 12 months, I've been working on recovering from adrenal fatigue, and a large part of that has been sorting out my gut. I won't give you all the gory details because it might get edited and censored off this podcast. However, I did not know there was such a link between your physiology and what's happening in your gut system. And there's a lot of research lately that it goes through all of that and explores how important it is to have good gut health. It's very complex, very detailed, and there is one lovely woman who I can totally recommend to support you in your gut health, who's been doing wonders with me over the last couple months. Her name is Alessandra Edwards, and I will put a link to her website in the show notes, which you can find at zoerouth.com/podcast/mojo. That's right. The hyperlink will be to Mojo. So if you go to my site and Google Mojo, that should come up. And Alessandra will be there. Or you can Google her yourself, Alessandra Edwards. So she's as an Aussie naturopath, and she has put me through a number of different assessments to get me to assess my gut health. And we've been working on a supplemental and nutrition plan and stress management plan to get things sorted. And oh my goodness, I can't believe how much better I'm feeling. And we're only two or three months into the program. Yeah, makes a massive difference. So get your gut health sorted. All right, so let's talk about some other ones you have heard. Exercise. I went for a run yesterday in the beautiful winter sun here in Canberra, and it was just glorious. And with adrenal fatigue, you can't do that kind of activity. So I haven't been able to run really for the last 12 months. So being able to get out there and go for a run is just so liberating. And it just left me full of energy, full of happiness, full of joy to be out in the fresh air and sunlight and feeling alive. And I think with our mojo, we can take that kind of appreciation and enthusiasm into our workout, into our training. So it doesn't just become, oh, I gotta work out, I gotta do some exercise, and you just do it out of obligation and duty, because you know it's a should. It can be this marvelous, full-bodied, explosive experience where you get to feel gratitude and appreciation and delight and awe at the magnificence of your body and just the joy of being alive. And I reckon on a scale of 1 to 10, wherever you are with your exercise regime, if you took an attitude like that into it, the benefits you would get are going to be huge. So I've made a commitment to do that myself. So instead of like trudging off to the gym to do yet another workout, I've determined that this is going to be a metaphysical mind blower every time. So if you want to join me in that, I'd love to hear your experience of it and to see how you're approaching boosting the mojo on the exercise. Here's another mojo tip in terms of what you were doing. Laughing. Yeah, laughing makes a big difference. And I reckon, check yourself right now. How many times have you laughed today? And I suspect not enough. So whatever it is that you can get a quick laugh out of, whether it's a Monty Python video or your favorite TV show or whatever it is, get some laughter on. And because that makes a big difference. It kind of reminds you that our life happens in moments, and why the hell shouldn't we just laugh a hell of a lot more through all of them? So laughing is good. Third one, play. It's related to laughing. How play turns up or shows up for me is just basically being playful. So I dance around my kitchen counter and I dance to tunes, and when I go shopping in the supermarket, I push the trolley and have a little jig, and it embarrasses my husband, which makes me want to do it even more. See, it makes me laugh too. So just take an attitude of playfulness into everything and see how you go, you know, and it doesn't have to be so bloody serious all the time. Number four things that you can do is create. Create something. Human beings are here on the planet to be creative in whatever shape or form. It doesn't mean you have to go and buy paints and do painting, but if that's your gig, go for it. Creating is all sorts of different things. It could be doodles, it could be music, it could be writing, it could be photography, it could be ideas, it could be mind mapping, I don't know, something. Do something interesting with your brain. And that helps you feel energized and like you're contributing and like you're growing. And that is mojo mastery happening what the heck was that coming out of my mouth? It's mojo mastery happening is what I meant to say. All right, number five for doing, morning routine. Work on a very simple morning routine that sets you up for quick wins from the outset. For me, I get up, I have my supplement things, and then I do my meditation. Takes me 20 minutes, and I've had a win for the day. And this also, I also do it while I'm hooked up to my heart rate variability monitor. And what is that, do you say? It's a chest strap that has Bluetooth capacity, and I use an app called Sweetbeat that measures my heart rate variability. Now, what that means is the difference in frequencies between your rest and digest system and your fight and flight system. So it looks at how your nervous system is handling itself. Are you stressed out to the max and fried, or are you robust? And I have to say that this morning, good day to record Mojo podcast. This morning, my HRV was through the roof. It's the best score I've had in over a year. So I tell you, I am firing, which means all of my tips totally work. So if you want to track your mojo in a real quantifiable way, you can do it through recording your HRV, your heart rate variability. And this will give you a good indicator how you're managing your head, heart, and brain. Head, heart, and brain. It's head, heart, and hara, I think, which is your head, heart, and gut, which is the key to mojo mastery. So morning routine, meditate, I do my HRV, I get up, I have my breakfast, I go to the gym, and I amp up the gym workout with like, yeah, this is a metaphysical mind blower experience. And I've already had a great start to the day. So whatever your morning routine is, amp it up, baby. Make it awesome. Where else? Oh, number six. Now, this is so obvious, and yet how often do we do it? Get out. Get outside. Getting outside. We are outdoor creatures, and we've built this entire society that is indoors. So get outside. Get into nature. Breathe some darn air. Feel a tree. Look at a bird. Listen to the crickets. Whatever. Just get yourself outside. And remember that you are part of this planet, an integral piece of it, and soak up that lovely goodness. All right. Okay, so those are my six tips for the doing part of mojo. Now the being part of mojo. So I think the first thing to do is to check what you're being now. So what are you default vibing? What do I mean by that? What's your default setting? Like right now, just check yourself. Are you on like, yeah, I'm vibing good vibes, or I'm vibing stressed out maniac and I'm double dipping. What's that? I can't even remember the phrase now. My brain's gone. When you're doing multitasking, oh my goodness. Are you multitasking and your brain's on two different directions at once? Or are you cool as a cucumber? Or are you like, woohoo, hyping out on your mojo? Figure out what your default is, and then determine to shift it in the direction that you want to go. So if you are a stressed out maniac, and that's your default vibe from morning to evening, time to change the default. And you can do that by deciding to change it through some of the things we've already experienced. But checking in with yourself and going, what am I vibing right now? And then setting a new setting is one of the key aspects of the being piece. Here's another tip for being. Just smile. Give yourself a little oxytocin hit. Smile. I'm smiling at you right now through the microphone. Big smile. Uh-huh. Thank you. I appreciate your smiling back. And because smiles are very contagious. So be the beautiful, contagious person who smiles at other people and lets their faces light up because you've lit your face up. So be a contagious, smiling, crazy person and see how good that feels to send that love bombs to other people. So this goes with another key tip for beingness, and that's to be silly. It kind of relates to the dancing in the supermarket aisle and what I said earlier about the 80-year-old wise person. So my 80-year-old wise lady, she is so awesome. She just sits around and grooves and enjoys her day, whether she's out dancing the supermarket aisles or sitting with the cat. I wish I had a cat. Maybe when I'm 80, I'll have a cat. And hanging out with the cat and chilling and smiling and having fun. So be the silly 80-year-old crazy lady. Why is she crazy? I don't know. She doesn't have to be crazy. Be the awesome 80-year-old wise version of yourself. Smile through that. And lastly, the beingness tip that I like to experience also is to experience timelessness. I kind of work on this a lot once a month when I see my spiritual dude, Jason, and he does some energy work on me. Basically goes into a deep meditation, or I go into a deep meditation, and I have this experience of my body dissolving and being part and one of the universe. It's a meditation experience. And that sense of just being a timeless entity connected to all is a fabulous way to chill the hell out and to experience the divine presence that's within each of us. When you're there, yeah, we can go from divine presence of all that is to playful 80-year-old self, and you can balance between the two. And notice there's no room for stressed out, crazy executive wahoo. I have no idea what a wahoo is, but it just came out of my mouth, so therefore it exists. Waha. Okay, so those are my tips on be, think, do around mastering your mojo. There is a ton of stuff that we can do with this. I'd love to hear your tips. You can send me an email, zoe@innercompass.com.au, or post a comment on the blog page, zoerouth.com/podcast/mojo, or even better yet, is you can build up your mojo credits by giving me a podcast review at iTunes. That would be nice. I'd love to get more. I'd love to get this message out to more people, so you can help me do that. In any case, I am sending you love bombs and smiles through the microwaves or the sound waves of this podcast. Live well, lead well, and rock on.